frankly, we need intelligent background checks. Okay, this isn't a question of NRA, Republican or Democrat. We don't want insane people, mentally ill people, bad people, dangerous people. We don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people.
No matter what our views may be about the subject matter, guns and gun violence is part of the national conversation right now in light of the terrible events that have taken place in our country over the last few weeks. Robbie and I converse a little bit about that subject matter today, wondering what the proper Christian response is to such terrible and tragic events. This is the Wonder What Podcast.
Welcome to the Wonder What Podcast. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Rob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. What are we doing here in the Batcave? Why are we here? Why'd you drag me here?
It's we're late this month for our podcast. Sorry, not that everybody's keeping track. But
I'm sure they
we're
are.
Due.
All four people walking by their calendar. Hey, I thought there was a podcast going to come out.
So I want to start with an apology, which is normally your thing.
Normally, that would be my thing, but yeah, this time it's all your fault.
I beat you to it. I'm sorry, we're late. A lot of things going on this last month. And
so you can stop chewing your fingernails and stressing over the fact that
that's right.
you haven't had
sleepy time show is here.
That's right. So fluff up the pillow, get snuggled into wherever it is.
Good night.
Good night. We're starting the podcast, so we'll catch you in a little bit.
Okay. What's been happening at Eastgate?
Well, I know that between the last podcast and this, we had the great big water balloon fight of 2019, which I got to have on the poster.
Yes, we accommodated your wishes.
Thank you.
For once on some of the details there. Yeah, I think it was getting called Sunday Fun Day, and you got it changed to the name you wanted. And
how dumb. Sunday Fun Day. Come on.
I thought you were going to say how dumb that I even cared.
No.
Oh.
No. I just think the Great Big Water Balloon Fight of 2019. I can't wait for the Great Big Water Balloon Fight of 2020. It was awesome.
It was, wasn't it?
I loved it.
We liked it. I don't know that we heard any complaints from anybody.
No.
And so we had a good time. That's
was
a had by all.
That's a win for us once nobody's complaining.
Yeah. And actually, now that I think about it, we do try to highlight a funny story, and I just thought of one that would go with this event.
Well, tell me.
Okay.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Well, the staff had been planning this, you know, for a month or so, and we had a lot of ideas, and Janelle and Blake and Liz implemented a lot of those by buying little swimming pools and buckets and squirt guns and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
They had the hose already and all that. You know what it's going to be
now. I know where we're going. I like this story.
Well, the staff is always very busy during the meeting. That's one of our busiest times. And but Janelle was kind of working behind the scenes. She started working while during your teaching, I think, to get things ready and the tubs out there and everything, or the pools. And went to plug the hose in, and there's no spigot, right?
Ever since the hurricane, we had a forklift run over that thing and to get it fixed. I mean, it was pouring water everywhere. The only way to fix it was to cap it off. I had
forgotten that it even happened, because we've always had
a little spigot right
outside the coffee house. Well, what do you call it now? We don't call it the coffee house. Where it says the corner.
Yeah.
Kind of the side entrance in that flower bed there. So we're like, we made sure we had plenty of hoses and all that, but they were like, you know, two or three hoses that were 10 or 15, I don't know, 15, 20 feet long maybe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I didn't even know about this till later because I was in the media room.
Yeah.
But
Janelle came and said, 20 minutes before, we're ready to start this thing.
Yes. There's no water. And so she, the great improviser that she is and thinker, she's very good at thinking quick on her feet. She went to Liz and said, can you run to Walmart and get 100-foot hose?
Yeah. I thought it was Misty Roberts did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was Misty. But, she sent Misty there. Yeah, yeah. And so Misty did it. She ran over there super fast, came back. And we do have a water outlet out the back
door. Right, a spigot in the back. Right.
Yes.
So
we like ran the hose right through
any professional church would do.
Middle of the room.
We ran a hose. Hey, we had a water day.
We did. And it worked.
I was impressed.
I do remember thinking, wow, that's funny. I wonder why the hose is going through the whole building. Because the door is propped open. And it kind of made it hot in there where we had the potluck.
Right.
And but yeah, that almost didn't happen. And Janelle's like, we can't have a great big water balloon fight without water today.
Have a little bucket with a sponge in it. And there
we,
you go.
We literally just had the one hose and it was filling up all these buckets.
Oh my gosh. But ultimately, regardless of how tense it might have been beforehand, what a great day that was. The pictures from that, Andrew Wardlow took some beautiful pictures. They're up on Facebook on the Eastgate group, but what a great day. I mean, I don't think I saw anybody without a smile on their face. And with this heat, it was the perfect way.
It was. And Joe Wolzinski grilled burgers, just like he does for Surf and Grill. But we had him mostly under the shade, under the overhang. And we had some cool areas in the overhang. And there's plenty of, you know, if you're out in the main area, you had to be willing to get wet and squirted. But he stayed dry over there. And he was over by the office. And so he made these great burgers. And then Janelle's neighbor has a snow cone business.
That's right.
And so they came
snowballs.
And
wasn't snow cones, it was called snowballs. Snowballs, yeah. I wanted to be careful about saying that properly.
Okay.
But so, yeah, he came and set up and that was wonderful. So we were able to prepay for a bunch of snow cones.
Yeah, Eastgate.
No, snowballs for a lot of people. So that was a lot of fun.
It was really fun. And it cleaned up quickly. We had a lot of water balloons everywhere and we were kind of wondering how many little shattered pieces of rubber balloons were going to be all over the place. But you had your blower and just cleaned it up.
Not only that, just to watch everybody jump in and you know, people are just picking up stuff everywhere and cleaning up. It was beautiful.
It was a
great way to get together and enjoy each other's company, create a little community and have fun.
It was super fun. When I first went out there, there was like 10 people outside and I thought, oh, everybody left and didn't stay for the... So I don't know where everyone was at first. Maybe they were eating?
Maybe they were eating first. I don't know. It
took me a while too. And I just looked out the window from the big room side and I saw about 10 or 15 people there and probably the rest of them were at the tables.
Yeah.
So, we're usually the last ones to the table. And I think we got some leftover burgers when the day was over.
I had a hot dog. Great. It was good. It was really good.
That's cool. And one more new thing that's happening at Eastgate that I am particularly super excited about.
What's happening
in the media room.
It makes me want to go, yikes, what?
The media room.
Oh, okay. Back in the nerdery. What's happening back there?
If anybody,
growing mushrooms now, finally?
Whatever. If anybody ever tries to watch us online with a YouTube feed, and sometimes we'll put it on Facebook, you will see the many, many troubles that we have had over the last several years, really.
I've been feeling so bad for you guys.
It's been very stressful. And it's always funny to me when we're like tearing our hair out for an hour and a half trying to get the audio right or trying to get the picture right. And then I see a little message the next day, by the way, your audio was so bad I couldn't even watch. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. We were working the whole time. Anyway, Kevin and Stephanie and I, who work in the media room and are also on the board, they're the treasurers, and we just worked together a lot back there, ended up ordering a brand new computer, and we're super excited. I think the one we have in there is
dancing
probably...
Dancing in the streets, man. That's been a long time coming.
Close to 10 years old.
10 years?
It was a Windows 7 that was upgraded to 10, and you know, the CPU's maxed out. And we knew that was an issue, but we were trying a lot of shortcuts to save us some money because the new computer was not cheap. We got an i9 processor.
Good
which
deal.
Was super expensive, and but hopefully it'll last us another 10 years. That's the way I look at it. You'll say, no, you've got to replace in a year.
But so, hey, I mean, it's, and if it helps people get connected, like when they're traveling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's.
Well, the week before, I came to Eastgate, got the media set up, and then I had to go work in the morning and clean some offices. And I wanted to hear the worship. I was so sad to miss worship that day. I knew what the songs were going to be. And so I turned it on my phone, and there's no audio at all. Just none. And so I was texting back and forth to Kevin and Stephanie, and they finally got it working, but not until you're teaching, which was great. But I always listen to that anyway.
You had to throw that in there, which was great.
I didn't want you to say, but you hated that part or were disappointed.
No.
I always listen to it when it comes out on the podcast, which is the same thing, that this
how
comes
would people
out on.
Yeah, so how would people get a hold of that podcast if they
it's
were
on
interested?
iTunes. It's just look for Eastgate Christian Fellowship on iTunes, and it's also on our website. You can find a link to it there
at
as well.
EastgateFellowship.net, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. So anyway, I'm excited about that. Just
that's
take
really
your
cool.
It'll be probably a month before it's working. I think it's 10 more days before it even comes here. They're building it, and then I have to get it set up and reinstall the new software.
Hopefully we'll be able to get a decent stream going for everybody.
That's the idea. Just want a backup, and also it's nice. I know a lot of people want to see your slides.
Yeah.
And so that is a way of doing that as well. And so and just, you know, if they're traveling or whatever out of town, then you know, it's funny. My pocket was just buzzing, and it was Stephanie Barron just said, "Hey Robbie, when's the new computer coming in?"
Well, there you go. So there you have it.
We're all so excited about it.
If she would be one of the four,
yes,
she would know
that's
that it's
right.
coming in about 10 days.
That's right. I'll let her know. So anyway, that's pretty cool, and hopefully that'll be a blessing for other people too.
Yeah. Cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Do you like movies? Do you like Jesus? Do you like movies and Jesus? Well, have we got the group for you. Popcorn Parables, once a month, on the third Wednesday each month, we get together in the Gig Youth Room and we watch a movie. We learn about its history and we try to find ways to connect the story to our walk with Christ. On the third Wednesday of every month at 6:30, join us in the Gig Room for a movie, popcorn, and fellowship.
So, we have some other things coming up, don't we, at Eastgate? Or?
Yeah. I mean, some tentative things that are in the works that we're mm-hmm. trying to put together. But Stacy Wozinski had gone to a marriage seminar.
Yeah.
She and her husband went. It was put on by Catalyst Church.
Right.
And so we got in contact with the people who do this seminar, and Janelle had a chance to meet with them, and it was really cool. I mean,
yeah.
It really looks like a good program, and we're sort of excited about the possibilities of this.
Yeah, I think we're thinking hopefully of doing this in October, and it's kind of an interesting deal in that, because we've talked about doing this before, maybe you leading one or whatever, but the first one we're going to do is basically they come in and they just use our building, and we sign up the people and that kind of thing, and then they, I think it's like a Friday night and like Saturday till 3 or something like that. So, yeah, we're excited about that. I think that could be really cool and could be very helpful.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. That's going to be, we're looking at tentatively looking at October for that.
Yeah, and I think, a good marriage is not something we should take for granted.
Not at all.
Yeah, the divorce rate of 50% is the same in the church as it is outside of it.
I mean, if those numbers are accurate, and
right.
I mean, but we do know that the divorce rates are high, and we know that in Panama City, we actually lead the nation in divorce rates. So,
yeah,
I mean, obviously, grace covers all things. But, man, if we can work on our marriages and bring Christ into that to make us strong in our commitments, then that's a great thing.
That's right. Let's be proactive about it.
So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to seeing what God will do in that.
Yes, something to look forward to.
How about stuff that people don't know about Eastgate? Do you think there's anything that people don't know about Eastgate that they need to know? Like, what do you know about Eastgate?
Nothing.
Eastgate, what do you know?
Nothing. We need a new t-shirt idea, so that could be a good one.
That's true. We do need a new t-shirt. Yeah. Eastgate, what do you know? Do they know things? Let's find out.
No, I was actually thinking about something, though, because of another story, which we'll, I think, tell too. But I was wondering if people know what our vision is. For the church, for Eastgate. That sounds really official.
No, but it's not. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to, as a community, the thing that keeps a community cohesive is mm-hmm. a sense of vision and shared purpose. And obviously, Christ is going to be that overarching
right.
thing. But and the Great Commission that he provides to us as the church in general. But yeah, because we were talking to somebody on staff the other day, whose name shall remain nameless, and Janelle was talking to them and said, yeah, I said that. They asked what the vision of our church is, and she, you know, was put on the spot. Now, she knew it when she came and was saying that to me, and I was rehearsing it, you know, she knew it, but it is one of those things. We don't have it posted enough. Maybe we should post it up around.
Yeah, and I think we've thought a lot about it since that time. You know, this should be out. We've discussed it, and of course, we've been there since the beginning. So
after these many years, you'd think we would know what would you say that you do here?
Well, it's funny because
do you know what it is? What is it?
this should be a staff meeting question. I thought of a lot of things. Honestly, when she came and told that to us, first thing I thought of was what we say at the end of our podcast, learning to love Jesus, learning to love others. This is our story so far. And I'm like, wait, that's not really probably our vision. It is something we say.
It's part of it. No, it encapsulates some of that. You can, if you're wondering about this, like how does a church function without, I mean, obviously that is still a big question. How have we been functioning? But we do have a series of teachings that I've done multiple times. We're going to be, once we finish Mark, we're going to probably refresh it again.
Eastgate Elementals.
And we go into it. What our vision is, our purpose, our values, those kinds of things.
Right.
And they're important to know. But in terms of the vision of the church,
tell us, Rob.
Well, I'm telling you, but it was not my vision. We got together those who were in leadership. We did a lot of prayer. We worked through what our values, what we saw as, you know, the things that God had put on our heart. Mm-hmm. Dan Crute was very instrumental.
I was thinking that too.
He and Patty have since moved away, but Dan was profoundly instrumental in helping us to hammer this out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we condensed it down into the words that we wanted, it was to be a place where we can experience and express the radical grace of God.
That's right.
And I like that. I think that's a good, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we've been. We've been that all along. We've looked at it almost like a hospital for people who've struggled with church or have struggled in being able to find their place in something that may be more institutional or whatever. And that's not mm-hmm. to denigrate any other way of doing church. But mm-hmm. the fact of the matter is church is a dangerous place and people do get hurt, whether legitimately or not, to be a place where we can just take a deep breath. Know that God is not mad at us, and that we can be ourselves and trust that God is going to shape us into the people that He meant us to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like we live out that vision on a week-to-week basis by the way, the style of the teaching, by the way we behave with one another and that kind of thing. So even if it's not always written out or right there on the tip of the tongue, I feel like we're expressing grace with people all the time. I feel like, I mean, we're not perfect, obviously, but I feel like that's been our goal, and we've been trying to implement that.
That's the goal. That's mm-hmm. the overarching vision is to be able to be a place, be a people
mm-hmm.
who embody that reality of God's grace, who are experiencing it for themselves. And then expressing it to each other and to the world.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately the gospel. The grace mm-hmm. of God come to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. The propitiation, or rather the expiation of our sins.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what you get for asking.
No, it's good. I like it. So now you know.
Lesser known, you are lesser known, I am famous. You are lesser known, you are lesser known, I am famous.
So we like to highlight volunteers that work at Eastgate because, man, Eastgate is a group of people who really work hard and work together to keep a community going and to be that place on the landscape that does declare God's grace. So
yes.
Who would you like to talk about, Robin?
Well, I had the couple in mind of Bob and April Hess.
Oh.
We have mentioned Bob kind of in a soundboard capacity before with all the other guys.
Right.
But I just wanted to mention him again.
He's a very talented sound man. He's worked very
hard. He is. In fact, the guys just came in last Saturday
and
put in another speaker in the viewing area where the bookstore is. And then they also put in one or two speakers.
Two speakers in the coffee house area where the counter is.
Yeah, and the kids get check-in. So that a lot of times there's parents wandering around with kids there, or there's volunteers manning the counters. And so now, and they put in a dial switch so they can hear the worship and they can hear the teaching as quiet as they want to.
Yeah,
but yeah, they just did that on a Saturday on their own time.
Gave up their Saturday, came in, got the soundboard mixed beautifully. The sound the worship sound was great.
Yes, as far as I was concerned. I thought so too. And April, Bob's wife, also volunteers, and she works at the coffee counter on Sunday mornings. And she does. Like Darby, is just a social butterfly and gets to know a lot of the people that come up there. And
it's wonderful.
Bob and April are one of the many, many families that are displaced from the hurricane, in the sense of they're living in a camper in their driveway.
I mean, there are people that, if anybody's got a right to complain and just sit down and say, I give up, I hate it. And believe me, I'm sure they've had moments where felt that way in this. But just to see their hearts and their spirits, to see April back there serving up coffee with a smile on a Sunday morning. It's encouraging and a testimony to the grace of God in this world. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Eastgate sometimes and you're thinking, man, this is an awesome community. This is a really cool place. Well, the reason that it's awesome is because of Bob and April Hess and people like them that come together knowing that God loves us and works together in that love to serve one another and serve the larger community.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Do I sound like I'm preaching every time
I
start talking?
Can you help that?
It's miserable living with me. I can imagine. This is miserable.
I just wonder how you're ever going to retire. What are you going to do? Just preach to the ceilings and the walls?
I kind of do me. Already.
You do. What have you been watching or reading or listening to anything new lately or interesting?
No. Josh Garrels has a new album out.
I just listened to it today.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I liked it. It's like any album. You got to get used to it. It's very different.
Oh, I was just going to ask you if it's the same style, because I sure loved his old
style. It's a similar style, and obviously he's got a very distinctive voice. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with him, he's a singer-songwriter out of Portland. He's
a lot of good things come out of Portland.
And he is he sings from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. I refrain from using language like Christian music or whatever.
Yeah.
Music is music. But he sings from a Christian perspective, putting his faith into lyric and music. And it's quite beautiful. It's very thought-provoking stuff,
really
too.
Talented. And the album, I don't know what the album is, but the album I like.
Something about the sea. I think it's his second.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's his sophomore
album.
But
has that song Farther Along. That's one of my favorites.
It's very good song.
It's not rap. What is it?
Oh, no, it's not rap. It's just...
It's like he kind of throws in a lot of words at once, though, but it's...
It's a little bit of folk. It's a little bit Americana, but I see why you're saying that, because there is kind of a cadence to the way he's putting the lyrics down.
But it's very... No, it's not rap, but it's very awesome and creative, and I love it.
I do, too. So that I was listening to that.
That's cool.
You and I both watched Jessica Jones on Netflix, the third season. I think that's the final season.
You can bleep this out if you need to, but she's just an awesome, incredible badass. Sorry.
It doesn't work when you whisper it like that.
Well, I was afraid.
It's just you and I here.
I like
and
her.
And the four people that are listening
to this.
That's
true. She's awesome.
Hopefully nobody just, swerved off the road or whatever.
Right.
Robbie? What?
She's awesome, though, and she's a slight person. She's not a big person, but she has like superpowers, and so
she's just an anti-hero.
She doesn't want to be in the position she's in, but she finds herself.
Right. I've got that that ongoing theme, which usually is present in superhero kind of films of I've got this ability. What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Am I going to do good with this?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the hero epic. It's fun. It's good. And I think it always comes back to being something that's a repetition of the gospel or God's claim on the life. So
yeah,
I think it's kind of fun. I really enjoyed it. And this last season, I did not enjoy season two of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, followed the story arc of her mother a little bit. And that was not as... Sorry, I said that really bad, didn't I?
Mother. You sort of did. It sounds like you don't like moms.
I love
but,
my mom.
But it's whatever reason, it kind of went off the rails for me on second season. You and I, being obsessive compulsive completion disorder people, feel like we have to finish whatever we started, and we finished. But I really enjoyed season three. I thought they delved into her personality a little bit more. They looked at some of these ancillary characters and fleshed them out a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was entertaining. It was thought-provoking. It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I did too. You have such a wide and varied background and knowledge of comic books that I forget sometimes, because like we were maybe halfway into the season and one of the ancillary characters started changing shape or something. Or she just
not changing shape or her personality, and they started dropping references and it suddenly dawned. Are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. I realized all of a sudden one of them was the comic book character Hellcat. And I'm like, I looked it up and yeah, sure enough, that's what they were doing.
Wow. So. That always gets me. I don't know why. But I think, like, what do you know? What else do you know?
What other deep wells of knowledge do you have about comic book lore hiding that need to be brought to the surface to benefit mankind?
So you have the comic book nerdery fans on your side.
Yeah, I guess so. That's it. I mean, I watched Jessica Jones, but I honestly, what I've been watching the most of, like when I started thinking about, like, what have I been watching? Mm-hmm. I've been watching YouTube tutorials on digital painting. Because I have bitten off something. I'm so in the weeds most of the time on these Sunday morning drawings that I do. These paintings. It's digital paintings that I've never been much of a digital painter. I've been more of a cartoonist, line art drawing kind of guy. They're that's what I always used to do.
Now.
But it's been fun. And I've been learning a whole lot. We live in an incredible day and age. You can learn so much on YouTube.
That's kind of your morning routine. And I know when we have company, that gets interrupted. And I remember you whispering to me one time, we had company for a long time, and you said, I can't wait to get to my mornings with YouTube again. And that is a therapeutic thing for you. And I know you always love learning too. And you've gotten faster at it. Like, well, I suppose it depends on each teaching. But
it does. And it depends on how many slides are in there. Last week was pretty brutal, but
you
were
working until Saturday night so late that I forgot to insert your slides because I normally set up the computer Saturday morning, and yeah. I was out working, checking the feed in the baby room, and someone came to me running, Coley needs you to put Rob's slides in, they're not in the computer. So I'm like running back up there putting them in. I was like, that's right, I didn't finish them till like 6 o'clock last night, and I thought I was already done. And so yeah, sometimes it will take a lot of time.
They do but it's fun, and it's been I like the fact that it's been challenging for me, and I've learned so many new things from it. And I guess I could say that I've been watching. Man, I just sound so preacherly or something, but I've been watching the Gospel of Mark on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a
talked about that, right?
No, this is a different one. This is we talked about The Chosen, but I've been watching the Gospel of Mark, and it's put together. I think it's a group called Luma. I forget. There's a denomination behind it, but you can find it on Netflix. The Gospel of Mark. They've got the Gospel of John, Matthew, and Luke. Hmm. Did I get everybody? I feel like I got
Matthew,
tangled
Mark, Luke,
up in
and John.
The,
yeah, I knew either way. Everybody.
They got one for every gospel, every flavor of gospel that's out there. They make a movie. But I like it because the guy, and I think I've talked about that before. Is very. I mean, he looks Semitic. He looks like he's from the region. Everybody does. They're speaking the original languages. It's a great thing. Like as we're teaching through Mark, it wouldn't be a bad idea just to look at those, because a lot of times on the paintings that I do, I take my visual cues from that movie. I'll look at that movie, see how they're dressed.
Is this the one where they just quote Bible?
Yeah, it's just the Bible. I mean,
but it's
just
visual. It's actors acting
right,
it out.
Acting it out. And
if they're speaking the original language, is there subtitles?
It's just the narration. You're hearing the narrator speaking the whole thing, but when you see them
actors
talking and everything, or you hear just a little bit of their dialogue underneath it all, they're speaking Aramaic.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like it. I find it really refreshing and beneficial to help me immerse myself in the place, because that's very important when trying to understand a book that comes to us from so far away and from such a different culture.
I think people appreciate that too. There's something else you're obsessed with though. You need a new printer.
Oh my gosh. I do.
Tell
not,
us about
no,
it, Rob.
We're not going to talk about this. That's ridiculous.
You really need it though, right?
I want to get a 3D printer. I like 3D printers. I'm fascinated by this. That Blender is a 3D art program. A 3D modeling program, and it's a crowdsource thing, so it's free to download. You can support it through Patreon and stuff like that, but they've just improved it to where you can actually use a pencil, like basically a grease pencil, and draw in three-dimensional space. It's the coolest thing. So anyway, I want to start building three-dimensional models that I can start printing, but I need a 3D printer.
Gotcha.
That's all. Because I want to make, I need, if there's anything I need in my life, it's more Batman figurines.
Yes, which we are sitting amongst. How many? Have you ever counted all the Batman figures in your office?
It's like two.
Oh my three. Goodness.
Well, how many are on that show?
Let's
doesn't
be honest.
Matter. There's several. I'm not going to sit here and count. It's
20
too
or
much.
30? Something like that?
It's probably 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh. There's almost 20 there. It's all, like less than 30.
Okay. What's this one about?
That's, what do you mean, what's that one about?
Tell the story of him.
Well, that's the Batman 66. That's the Adam West version of Batman from the ABC television show back in 1968.
There you have it, Nerderies. He has a history on each one. What's this one about?
Well, that's from the the cartoon series, the animated cartoon series, The Batman, that they did after the Batman and the animated series thing. Later on, they tried to reboot it, The Batman. They had different voice actors. And I honestly thought it was okay. It was a pretty good representation of Batman. The Joker was kind of intriguing, but... Oh, you're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I think it's great. These are not just purchased without thought. You have a particular one you always want, and I just think it's...
Yeah, I like that.
Adorable.
Man. Whatever. But it. Hey, you know what else I got, though? Somebody at Eastgate gave me this framed picture. Rob, not that we call him Rob, not the pastor, but it's Rob Royak.
Why did we call him that? He's called himself somebody that else. Somewhere.
Yeah, I think he'd said it
like
somewhere.
Like in a forum or something somewhere.
But every, like, if we have a text or something that's going on and we have to refer to Rob, it's Rob, not the pastor. And
he's
that is
awesome. He's
a lot
guy.
To write out with your thumbs. But anyway, he did a framed picture of the statue that was made in commemoration of when Pee Wee Reese put his arm around Jackie Robinson in a show of solidarity when he was being harassed at a Dodgers game.
For being the first African-American.
Yeah. So anyway, he seemed to be very familiar with it. I referenced it, I think, in a
couple
message.
Teachings ago. Yeah. And then he brought you that framed picture.
Yeah. He's also given me baseball cards, like a book of baseball. It's very kind of him.
Yeah.
He's very nice. But it's nice to have baseball fans.
I love it.
To hang out with who know baseball. So
it's very
cool. Kind of makes me think about sports news. What's been happening with sports?
Well, we just took a trip and went to a game. We try to go to one or two every year now that our son's down in very far away.
Far away in Jupiter, Florida.
It's an 8-hour drive.
So we went down, took the grandkids down. Our grandson was staying here with us for a couple
weeks.
Yeah,
Bradley
and so
Jamie
we drove
Lincoln
him.
Had come here for a visit, and we said, please leave your son and you can go.
Drop your son and back away slowly.
So he stayed about 10 days. He's 4 now. He did it last year when he was 3, and he handled a lot better this time.
Yeah,
didn't miss mom or dad.
Had a blast.
So we took Sammy and Lincoln down there, had a horrible rainstorm. I think I had PTSD from it. We had totally blackout on...
Whiteout. You'd call that a whiteout. It's not a blackout. If we were blacking out, that would be a whole different problem.
It felt like it. I eventually closed my eyes. I'm like, I can't help but drive.
So you did black out.
I
you blacked out, but the weather whited
out. You're on your own here. I can't do this. I would pull over and stay in a motel until this is over. I can't handle it. Mm. But anyway, okay, so we got to Jupiter, and that was super fun. We went down to a game, and the kids came with us. And Bradley, it was throwback weekend.
Throwback Thursday or... No, throwback Friday.
We were there
Friday.
On Friday. It was for the weekend. Yeah. But we just were there for the Friday night game. We had to come home Saturday. And Bradley, Jamie, our son and daughter-in-law, and our two grandkids got on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, because they were wearing throwback uniforms.
That was so cool. And Rob took a picture of it.
Yeah,
it was
pretty fun.
And that was a great game. And we were behind until the bottom of the ninth. And so we all turned our baseball caps inside out and made the kids do it too. And my granddaughter.
That's a rally. If you're not familiar, that's called a rally cap. When you're waiting and you're behind, you're hoping your team is going to turn around, you flip your hat inside out and wait for them to do something right.
Yeah, kind of a show of solidarity or whatever. And our granddaughter, who's very fashion conscious, was like, why do we do this?
She was not having it.
How does this help the
team? Yeah, she was like, well, I'm saying, well, it might help the team win. So how does this help them?
But they pulled it off, and they won in the bottom of the ninth, and it was glorious.
Simply, science proves that rally hats work.
Yes, that's right.
And
that was super fun.
But that was a lot of fun. Cubs are doing pretty good. I think they're still leading their division by about a game and a half or maybe 2 games right
when
now.
When we looked last night, they were ahead by 3.5, but there may have been another game since then.
Oh, was it 3.5?
Mm-hmm. You were so surprised because they were tied up last time we looked
at
it.
So Cubs are leading their division. They're looking okay. Contreras, their catcher, is out for 4 weeks, which is devastating, but be all right. Marlins beat the Braves, and I know there's a lot of Braves fans, but they're probably not listening to this podcast. Of the 4 that are out there, I wonder if there's any Braves fans.
There's been a lot of Braves fans in this area because the Marlins are a relatively new team. I'm 25 years old.
And the Marlins are way farther away than the Braves.
They're 8 hour. Yeah. They're 8, 9.5, and the Braves are only 5. So there's a lot of
that. That makes sense. I can see why people. I mean, you know, if we hadn't been Cubs fans, and the only reason we're Marlins fans has to do with a certain son of ours.
Yeah, and we actually liked them for a little while because they started the year we moved down here to
Florida. That's true. That's true.
And so we're like, okay, let's get behind this team. And then they won the World Series, which we loved. And then they sold off all their players, which we hated. And so we're like, yeah, anathema to us.
Yeah, that was kind of a strange time. But anyway.
Yeah.
But it's cool. They have no chance, no hope. Their season will be done when the season's over.
They're still building.
They're still rebuilding. They've got a lot of things to work out, but they've got some really dynamic players. Brian Anderson, Cooper.
Brinson's really, back, who's been my personal favorite.
They've got some really good potential ace pitchers in there. So
yeah.
It's really fun. It's fun to watch a team rebuild like that.
It is. This is also that awkward time of year where football is beginning.
That's right.
And it's very conflicting. The preseason started. We went and saw the Jags game at my daughter's house last night. And it's really hard to go back and forth. They're very differently paced games.
It's always a difficult transition for me. It's hard for me to get into football right now because I'm still in a baseball frame of mind.
And then when football season really kicks in, then it's hard to go back and watch the end of the baseball season.
It really is. It is. They are so strangely diverse and different in their pace that it's and that's a curiosity in itself. I suppose that somebody should do some research on that. Like what happens with our brains when we're watching these various shows? Mm-hmm. Something seems to sync up with it, and when the rhythm of that changes, it's disconcerting. At least for me.
No,
maybe somebody
is.
Should do a study on me. What is wrong with you?
We're not very flexible.
That boy ain't right.
One other thing, too, I wanted to share, when we were talking about our family a little bit, is the story of my son's cat. Some people may have seen that on Facebook. And this is our older son who just lives not too far from us. And that just happened just last week. And people might have seen it on Facebook. And in typical male fashion, my son did not give a lot of details. And it's kind of an interesting story.
Well, he gave the important details. Cat's back.
Cat lost, cat found.
Yeah, what more do you need? What?
Well, let's tell the story behind the story. Shall we?
I suppose. Is there a story?
You want me to? Okay.
What are we talking about?
Okay. Well, my
who are you?
My son's cat named Ronald, full name Ronald Reagan, went missing after a very bad storm just last week. And he doesn't even know how Ronald got out. But he realized it the next day. I think it was. It's like, where is he? And he's like, oh, he was probably afraid of that storm. And just looked around for him. So he came to I didn't know he was missing. He came to our house on Tuesday. He went missing Sunday night. I said, can I use your printer? I'm like, yeah. And we all went to his computer. What are you printing? And he's like, lost. Cat ran away during the storm. And we were just like, oh, no, Dad. My son has had this cat since before he was married, over 5 years.
Yeah.
Well.
Over 10 years. They're coming up on their 10-year anniversary.
Oh, really?
Janelle is... had a fight.
Yeah, no, what? You're right.
It is. Yeah.
It's closer to 10 because Janelle and Matt just had theirs. I think Daniel and Melissa got married a year and a half after that. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, so he's had this cat over 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably. And anyway, so he printed the flyer. He put it in his neighborhood. He was hoping that maybe just like one of the neighbors had taken him in or whatever. And then he posted it on Facebook. And it just was shared and shared and shared by a lot of friends. And so, you know, it was getting out. It seemed like everywhere. Well, they had just moved. We talked about this. I'm sure you all just so interested. But about how the fact our son had moved maybe a month ago. And it was 3 miles apart. The houses were 3 miles away. And so his brother-in-law was living with him. And then he stayed in the house and got some new roommates. And so one of his roommates was on the back porch at the old house. And all of a sudden, they see Ronald climb up over the fence and jump into the backyard. And they went, Ronald! And Ronald
ran away.
That's not Daniel. That's not Melissa. And he ran away. And so as soon as Daniel and Melissa heard that, I think that was Tuesday night.
Yeah, they went searching for him around the
We went back by the old place, walked up and down the street, went into the gas station to post the flyer. And then some person saw them looking and said,
yeah, they were walking up and down the street and somebody saw them and asked who they were looking, well, you know, did they lose somebody? And they said, yeah, it's a cat, a big fluffy gray cat. And they said, big fluffy gray cat. Was it Ronald Reagan? And they said, yes, it was.
Perfect stranger.
Yeah. Had seen it on Facebook. And so
that was kind of cool. He was excited about that, you know, word had gotten out that much. They came over to our house that night and had dinner and then they went home. And then that same night that Ronald had been spotted at their old place, Daniel's sitting in the front room and he saw Ronald out the, I asked him last night the details, that he saw Ronald outside the window and opened the door and did the same thing, Ronald! And Ronald came in. So he had made his way back to their old place and then back to
turned around and come back a couple of days,
you know, yeah, and then turned that night and came back to the new place and found his way. And I had to look it up on a map to see, because I thought maybe it was a mile apart. There's 3 miles, and this cat found his way back. So
that's amazing.
It's a great story, and I'm really happy because they, and then Melissa has a cat, BK,
and he came in. They said he's got a new tattoo. They don't know what that's all about. That's right. He's been reading the paper ever since he left. So I don't know, something.
He's all smarty pants. Anyway, I thought it was kind of a cool story. Hopefully,
yeah, that was a good story for them.
We've been here before for too many days, not enough time to get me away from feeling like misunderstood. Then I walk in.
So there's been a lot of horrific news lately.
Oh man, it's one of those things you don't even want to watch the news. It's tragic. It's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's unbelievable, and I don't know how to wrap my mind around it, because the world is so different from the world you and I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And something has changed.
And what we're talking about are the dual shootings, one in Texas, one in Ohio on the same day. And the one in Texas, I meant to look up some of these statistics, but just to make sure that what we heard was right, I think is the second highest number of fatalities in a shooting, but definitely the highest for this year.
Yeah, and we've been seeing the statistics everywhere in terms of how the United States leads in gun violence, and obviously everybody's going to have different points of view on one side or the other when it comes to the issue of guns and gun ownership.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic.
It is a hot topic, you know, and I feel like as Christians we should be able to talk about it with each other. I do feel like we get defensive pretty quick if anybody, you know, brings it up and potentially looks like they're going to look at it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know at Eastgate, we've got people who hold a variety of different views, both extremes on both sides and people that are moderate in the middle. But it's a hard thing to know what to do with. I mean, it's a constitutional right to bear arms. It's a different world now than it was when they developed those things. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something else going on here than just the guns themselves. Though even President Trump was coming out today. I was reading his tweets, and he was saying that we need common sense, you know, some sort of common sense background checks that keep guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill.
Yes,
which you know makes sense to me.
I feel like there's been even a lot of warning signs with a lot of the shooters. That people are like, oh yeah, I saw this or I saw that. And I'd even read kind of a sub story after that initial shooting about a grandma who intervened and saw the signs were happening in her grandson. And
went right. And talked yes, to him I saw and that said, on NPR. You need to, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And she intervened and they got him and they got his guns and he gave up. Actually, he basically decided not to do it before the police even came and turned himself in. For the most part, but
it's hard to say that that's going to be like. It's I don't know that you know just getting all the grandmas mobilized or whatever is.
No,
going
you
to couldn't make
see
the
that as a real solution. But I'm thinking in terms of relationships.
Sure,
those
and
who
that makes
have
sense.
Any kind of relationship, because I do feel like a lot of these people are very isolated. They're
a lot of times lot they of, are. Yeah, that does seem to be a profile there. It's a lot of white young men. Not exactly sure what that means. I don't know. I know a little bit about your growing up. I know that when you and I were in the crazy church had had a strange dichotomy going on there because their view was the leader of this church had actually adopted the Mennonite point of view of non-resistance.
Yes.
He'd actually studied, I think, or at a Brethren college, which had Mennonite leanings. And anyway, so his perspective was that of non-resistance, non-violence.
Right.
And yet at the same time, it was still pro-gun rights.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of that had to do with where we live.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys were hunters and you know, had guns for that reason.
The Midwest. And
I mean, I think about that. I mean, there's no way in the world I want to take guns away from somebody who lives in Wyoming on a farm or whatever that needs that. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, your parents lived in the country in Dufuniac Springs,
yeah,
and
they
always
had
there was some type of shotguns or something. They had a shotgun.
There was a shotgun, and there was a .22 rifle that I remember. Even as a kid, when we lived up in Michigan, we owned a gun. But guns were never my thing. I don't know. For whatever reason, that was not something.
Some people
that,
do just have a real love affair with them. They grew up with them, and it's just something they enjoy doing
and
as
I
a hobby.
And I can see, there's the mechanics of it that's intriguing. There's a lot to it that even down to the style of the way that the thing looks is intriguing and interesting.
And my parents were kind of hippies when they were younger, so they were like all about
gun control,
peace, love,
aren't they?
And
I feel like I remember them being somewhat on the side of being like gun control.
Exactly, and they personally never had anything to do with guns, and so neither did I. And when I worked in a retail store, and the owner, I worked at a place for 18 years, and the owner was a big gun guy, and he said, "Let me show you where all the guns are here in the store." And I'm like, "Oh, I hope you never expect me to use these, because I will probably shoot myself before I shoot anyone else, or he'll take the gun from me and shoot me, because they scare me and I'm not used to them. Mace, give me mace or something." But
probably
I'm giving them all the
mace too.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, it's true, and I'm giving them all the money in the register. I'm sorry, it's just going to happen.
My friend Lance Livingston, who was a cop for 20 years in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that you can have all the different plans in your mind of what you would do in any given situation, but in the heat of that moment, it's almost impossible to know what you're going to be able to do or what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard, it is a tough subject, and I think that I feel like it would be cool if we could talk about it more without it being a polarizing kind of thing where we feel threatened.
Get defensive or
one way or the other. I feel like you know, something's going on in this. Like I said, it's a different world. There have been guns around. Like I said, I grew up with guns in the house. I lived in rural Michigan, and I think everybody. I don't think I knew a family that didn't have guns. Mm. Everybody had guns, and yet we didn't see this sort of thing happening. I remember when I feel like the first time we ever saw something like that was a sniper on a college campus back in the 70s. I don't remember the details of it. I should have probably looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such an alarming, disturbing kind of thing that had happened. And I don't know exactly. Everybody's quick to come up with a scapegoat that it's video games or other people. You know, one side will blame video games. One side will blame the president. One side will... I mean, everybody's pointing somewhere, but something is amiss. Mm-hmm. And obviously the world is a broken place.
It is,
Something is amiss in this whole thing. And I personally am in favor of some sort of background checks that actually will at least make it more difficult.
Everywhere, not just at the gun stores, but at the trade shows and things like that, which has not been the case in the past, from what I understand.
You know what? And clearly, we're just having a conversation just sitting here, so I have not researched that enough. I feel like somebody has told me that they do have to do background checks for gun shows. So, I mean, I can't see how it would be, you know, inappropriate to see to it that if there's... we saw something about Israel and how...
Yes, that's what I was just thinking of.
They manage guns in Israel because they have the right to bear arms in Israel, but... You have to pass a test. You have to pass an actual test where a firing range test.
Yes, so that you're competent with the weapon.
You have to have an intensive background check, and nobody in your family even can have mental problems, because that's one of the things. Like in the Sandy Hook thing, the guy himself didn't own the guns, but his parents did.
Sure. Well, and the other thing with Israel is they have to then have that reevaluate.
Right.
To be reevaluated every year or 2 years, I think it is. Yeah. And that makes sense too. It's like, there just needs to be maybe
something. And a meme was going around that was saying, you know, well, drug laws have worked so well to curb drug abuse, so obviously gun control will be the But honestly, that's not
sarcastic.
But that's not a fair argument, because no reasonable person would say, yeah, you're right. Let's drop all the laws against somebody having as much Oxycontin as they want. Mm-hmm. Just
or
turn
heroin,
it loose, or heroin or whatever. I mean,
crack cocaine. Or-
there are common sense kind of drug laws that actually, even if it hasn't curtailed the problem, are there in place to make it clear that that's a... You know, that at least discourage the rampant use mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but again, that could be argued a different direction. So I'm not saying I know for sure. I'm just saying that it seems like something that needs to be addressed. I really feel like, and I'm hoping that somebody's doing this intensive research as to if there is some common denominator, something going on mm-hmm. in the lives of the people that are doing this.
Yeah, I don't know, but off the top of my head, it seems like there's definitely been psychological issues. I heard something the other day.
You would have to. I mean, it would have to be psychological issues.
On a podcast, I think it was, I'm trying to remember the exact podcast I heard it on, but anyways, talking about a young man who did shooting, who shot like 6 or 8 people or something in a day. And he was a lonely man. And he said he went to kill as many women as he could because...
Oh, right. I remember that one.
Yeah. Because he'd been never, jilted. Yeah. He'd never kissed somebody, never had a date. And, you know, he basically was upset, you know, that he was, and I think that we've also heard the stories of the bullies, the ones who have been bullied or ostracized in school and that kind of thing are kind of getting back and
end up snapping. But again, and so that does make us wonder if they're, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, again, we'll point to all kinds of external things. Like I mentioned, you know, we'll blame it on individuals. We'll blame it on influences like video games or violence in movies. But here's the thing. Look, I've seen a lot of violent movies. Mm-hmm. As a kid, before I was a believer, I was immersed in some really you know, dark things in terms of the kind of comics that I would read or whatever. Never once, as an unbeliever, did it ever occur to me that I would want to do something like this.
Yeah, you're a very gentle person.
So there's something else at work here that can't just be the influences of that. There's got to be something going on. And obviously, the ultimate answer for any of this is going to be Christ's intervention mm-hmm. into our world.
Absolutely. And I guess what I would like to say to anyone who feels like, don't, whatever you do, don't take my gun away. Like, okay, that's fine. But what, how do we fix this then? What other options are there? What can we do? Right. I just feel like we need to get creative about ways to curtail it and keep ourselves safe.
I've always heard the argument that, you know, if you take away the guns, then only the bad guys will have guns. Only the people that would use them. Honestly, that's not necessarily a fair metric to use, though, because most of these, like these mass shootings that are taking place in schools or malls, mm-hmm. Are not done by people who are habitual criminals.
Yeah, they're not by the gang members or things like that.
They're
basically
not done
white
by the
collar.
People that we think in terms of subverting the law. These are people who a lot of times have gotten their guns legally
mm-hmm,
or their
true.
Family members have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can't necessarily use that argument that's saying, well, if we take away the guns, only the bad guys have guns. And I remember in Texas in that shooting that took place in the church. And I have a friend from Texas who said, well, something like this, a mass shooting could never happen in Texas. Everybody's got a gun. Everybody's you know, armed, and they would take that guy down immediately. And yet, like my friend Lance said, you get in the middle of a situation, you don't know what the fight or flight instinct is going to do. And I don't know that just, it's commendable that like in the case in Dayton, I believe, was it in Dayton or was it in El Paso? Within 1 minute, the shooter was taken out. In one of those places, I remember them saying that it was within 1 minute of the shooting starting, the guy was taken out. So obviously, more lives were saved in that, but still.
Within a minute, many people were still killed.
Were still killed. And that kind of weaponry is perplexing to me. And again, somebody could say, you know, well, there you go. That's the classic, you know, gun control argument. And I'm not trying to make an argument one way or the other. I honestly have no interest in trying to take anybody's guns away. But I do feel like we have a responsibility as a nation and as humane people living together mm-hmm. and forming society, we have a responsibility to try to address this in a meaningful way, more than just saying thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with thoughts and prayers. That's not to denigrate that idea.
Well, I have a tendency to think now that there's a combination of things going on, and we've had gun ownership as part of our nation for a long, long time, and it hasn't been a problem, honestly, until recently.
Until recently.
And so there's a combination of the availability of guns plus whatever that other thing is, psychological problems, too much time on our hands, who knows, and they have this availability to get those guns, which all of a sudden now we're like, we'll just stop, you know. That is a lot of times people's first reaction. Don't let them get the guns. That hasn't always been the problem before. So, you know, I'm willing to obviously consider that there. It's a complicated problem.
Yeah. I mean, part of me just wants to say, look, the genie's out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guns are there. So mm-hmm. I suppose there are other nations that have done buyback things mm-hmm. with guns. Australia, I guess, comes to mind, but even there, they recently had a mass killing. Mm. I don't know.
Do you ever think about Sudan and Nairobi when we landed there, when you think about this shooting? I often mentally reference that.
I'm not sure.
Because it was a totally different looking country. And when we landed in there and we drove through Nairobi, which is where the plane took us and on our way to Sudan, it was not a pleasant looking city, but it was very secure looking. Like to get into a restaurant, there was a gate. Like a wrought iron gate that you pulled up
and
to
armed
stopped.
Guards. Armed guards
were there, and then they let one car in yeah. and then close it, check the next one, and then you could park and go in.
And I suppose ultimately that's what we have to consider
that's
is
what
that
I'm wondering.
if something is rotting. Mm-hmm. Within our culture. And I could certainly see, you know, everything's a trade-off. We may do well in one area of mm-hmm. of like a moral societal existence, addressing issues that need to be addressed, but then it's a trade-off. It seems like we fall in some other area
yeah.
that we can't ever get it back together right mm-hmm. as a society. But I think that we may need to, I don't know, be prepared for the possibility that it would have to be more like
a
country like Nairobi, where you've got to, mm-hmm. you know, have you know, an armed guard who patrols everything.
Well, like it surprised me about the
peaceful people.
Yeah, in Walmart, how there was a shooting in Walmart, and I guess I was thinking, did he not have to go through any kind of metal detector just to walk into a Walmart?
You don't. Have you ever seen a metal detector mm-hmm. at a Walmart? Mm-hmm. I mean, they got detectors that are up to see to it that you're not shoplifting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could.
I mean, you have to walk through one to go to a library, I feel like, don't you?
No. A metal detector?
Yeah. There's those white towers.
I think those are there to keep you from walking away with books.
Oh.
I think.
Well, we need to make them so that you can't walk in or out with it.
Well,
but that's
either
the
way,
thing I think about. And also, like we were talking about Lance, and I think we've even maybe talked about this on another podcast, that he implemented some security changes for us
yeah.
after that church shooting in Texas. And I feel very secure. I'm not saying it's foolproof or whatever, but I feel very secure. And there was a lot of things that he brought up about that shooting that I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, we can avoid that kind of exact scenario from happening by making these changes. Like
just a few small changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if you've ever gotten to Eastgate after we've started, you'll notice that somebody's got to open the door for you because we keep them locked so that nobody can just...
Yeah, that
That's
guy walked in after the service. He said most of those shootings took place after the service started. And that guy walked in fully armed on the outside. I mean, it wasn't like he was hiding these weapons or anything. And he just walked in and started shooting. And so now we lock the doors at 10. And security guys will let you in at 10 as long as you look okay.
As long as you're not carrying a rifle.
Mm-hmm. But they seem like simple things. Granted, that is not a solution for everybody everywhere,
no.
Especially out in public, because I feel like there's a lot of shootings and killings out in wide open spaces, which I don't know how you ever police that, or even people mowing other people down with their cars or whatever. But in something like Walmart, I feel like, God, can't they just put a metal detector right there at the door?
Yeah.
And you can't walk in with a gun, maybe.
I don't know. It's a hard thing to know exactly how it's ever going to be addressed legislatively in any sort of meaningful way.
Right.
I don't know how that can...
I guess I'm just thinking more in terms of on a personal level, you know, businesses wanting to protect their customers and their staff and that kind of thing.
But again, it's a tragedy that we have to live with this hanging over our heads, but I don't know... I don't know exactly what the answer would be apart from God's intervention in our society. One thing that Christianity Today had an article written by a survivor of one of the shootings and was talking, and it would be good to Google it and just look up the article about how to pray for those who've survived this. Oh. Because when we talk about thoughts and prayers, you know, there are some specific things. We're praying for a person's mental healing after something like this,
sure.
the trauma that they go through, praying for peace, praying for peace within our nation. I'm not remembering everything that was in the article, but it was very good, very encouraging.
It would be challenging to pray for forgiveness as well.
Yeah, yeah. That would be challenging.
Which is our call.
Which definitely is our call. And again, remember up in South Carolina, the shooting that took place in a church there and how the congregants got together
awesome.
At his hearing and professed their forgiveness of him. And it was just a profound display of the values of the kingdom of God. And so that can be a powerful thing in a way that God can take something like that and make it powerful. But boy, we just need to pray that, mm-hmm. that the Lord will guide us as a nation towards a reasonable solution here. I'm not somebody, like I said, I don't have a dog in this fight
right.
for myself, but I want to be respectful of people's points of view on this. And certainly we want to be respectful of those who've suffered and mm-hmm. lost loved ones. The tragic stories that we keep reading about, the couple I was reading about this morning who both lost their lives shielding their 2-year-old son. I hate that these types of things are happening. I hate that in some of these cases, you know, racial prejudice ends up being part of this. And I'll tell mm-hmm. you that I don't know what's going on too. Part of this can be a media sensationalism.
Sure.
Wanting to highlight the most negative. But there does seem to be that as well, a rise in white nationalism. I don't ever remember white nationalist parades on the scale that we've been seeing them lately. And boy, I'll tell you what, if there's anything, I mean, as a representative of the gospel and the kingdom of God, as a pastor, it's vitally important that I make it very clear that white nationalism, any sort of prejudice like that, that would lead somebody to that kind of villainous activity towards their fellow human being, man, that is abominable. That is yes. incompatible with the values of the kingdom of God. That has nothing to do with the reality of God's intent for this world. We have to reject all forms of white nationalism or anything like that, or any kind of hate. Any kind of hate.
There's no right. good reason for any of these mass shootings, no matter what their supposed reason is. I mean, there's never a good reason, but that does seem like it's been more of a common one recently. But I think what's hard for me too is in the midst of the chaotic nature of these things, that there would be any infighting within the church. I just wish the church could come together and be a healing salve
for
the wounded and the hurting.
Put aside our politics and love and pray for a change to take place in our country, which yes. kind of leads me to a quote that I've got.
Oh, okay, cool.
From
Let's Brennan. Hear it.
It's,
Brennan. I usually do it, so I want to hear
yeah,
this.
Yeah, this is from Brennan Manning, and it's from his book, Abba's Child, The Cry of the Heart for Intimate Belonging. But he makes he's talking about all the different ways that we go about trying to heal the ills of our world, trying to find our own sense of belonging or self. And he says, the anything goes passiveness of the religious and political left is matched by the preachy moralism of the religious and political right. The person who uncritically embraces any party line is guilty of an idolatrous surrender of her core identity as Abba's child. Neither liberal fairy dust nor conservative hardball addresses our ragged human dignity. And ultimately, that's it. None of these things, none of these positions that we take on political issues, one way or the other, is going to address the ragged human condition that we're in and the dignity that we were meant for.
Yes.
So that's ultimately what we have to be praying for as a church, as the individuals who make up the church, praying for God to intervene and replace the madness that seems pervasive with his wisdom and let love begin to rule the day.
Absolutely. I love that. I feel like there's so many forces at work trying to rob us of our humanity.
Right on.
And politics is just another one of them.
Absolutely.
Let's just
on either
remember.
Side of that argument. Mm-hmm. Either
absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. And God's love for us is pervasive, and that should be our unifying.
Right on. Our unifying banner under mm-hmm. a king. We got a king, and we want to serve him and follow him above all else.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he is the one who can save the day.
Right on. Read that book too. I know it's really good. So, with that.
Yeah, that was kind of heavy, but it was kind of a good conversation. It felt good to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I know you'd be willing to talk with anybody that wants to.
Absolutely. Let's have a conversation. I'd love to have a conversation.
No arguments, a conversation.
Yeah, see how God guides through that exchange of ideas and perceptions.
Yes.
So, so we're going to wrap it up here for all four of you who are listening.
Hopefully you're still with us.
Yeah, this is our little just verbal prod to let you know it's time to wake up. You got other things you have to do today. The nap time is over, but hopefully you got some good rest during this time.
And thanks again, for hanging with us.
Yeah, as always, we hope you weren't driving. But if you were, just rub the sleep from your eyes, but only with one hand. Keep the other hand on the wheel. Be safe as you go. So this is it. This is Eastgate. We're learning to love God, learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.
See you then.
Music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Poddington Bear, Scott Holmes, The Inventors, Colonel Tripp, and Derek Clegg from the Free Music Archive.